Low unemployment rates across northwestern Kansas continue to be a significant factor in area economies. From Grow Hayes, Executive Director Doug Williams stops by to talk about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Workforce is probably our primary challenge that we face out here just because of the low numbers, and any business that wants to come here or wants to grow or even continuing to operate is struggling with finding employees.
Yeah, and this has been, since I think, we came back from the pandemic, we've seen these low numbers continue. But even before that, the situation, the unemployment numbers here, the rates were still under what we'd really like to see, weren't they?
They were. For any number of years, and well before the pandemic, our unemployment levels were below 3%, which is kind of the, when you have 3% unemployment, the experts will tell you that's low, and you don't ever want anything less than that. And our number in May was 1.7. The month before that was 1.3%. And so very, very low numbers. And they were a little lower now than they were pre-pandemic, but not appreciably.
So I guess my first question is, what's causing it? And the follow-up, how do we fix it?
Well, two great questions, and I wish I had the answers. It reminds me of a quote I heard the other day. Guy says, for every complex problem, there is a solution that is clear, simple, and wrong. And that's what we see so much of today. I guess I'd call it political speak. Everybody's got this easy answer. They say that, oh, well, it's because the government gave out all this money, and people are sitting home and drawing all this money from the government. But that's simply not what we see locally at all. It's a combination of things. I think it's the pandemic did cause lots of people to say, well, now's maybe a good time to retire. So we lost a lot of people out of the workforce to retirement, more than normal. In our local situation, you know, we have Fort Hays students have always provided a percentage of our workforce, the on-campus students. And since the pandemic, and even a little bit before, we've had a steady decline in on-campus enrollment. So fewer kids on campus, and so fewer kids to work, because in spite of what many people think, most students do work in one job or another. Childcare is a significant issue. We don't have enough child care in our community. We've talked about that before, and I know you and Sarah Wassinger talk about that. They did a survey, and they identified, I believe, 180 or something like that, people who indicated if they had affordable and readily available child care, they would re-enter the workforce, or they would enter the workforce. So that's a challenge that we have. Our lack of housing has caused us to not be able to have people move here, which could potentially enter the workforce. And, when you take all that and take the fact that now the many workers who were doing maybe a primary level job or something like that have had opportunities to move up, it leaves a lot of openings in entry level jobs. And so as the quote I gave said, this is complex, and there are no easy and simple solutions to it. It's multifaceted, and we have to kind of address all of them as best we can.
Yeah, and it sounds like to me, all of these things you mentioned, the Sarah and the Child Care Task Force, we've talked about the housing quite a bit here. All of these problems, I think, are on the radar, and kind of everybody's working on the individual aspects of it to move that forward and kind of fix that problem.
We are. There's a lot of people working in a lot of these areas. The challenge is none of these have quick and easy fixes. It takes time to build housing. You don't do that overnight. It's a process of, at a minimum, months and most likely years to deal with housing shortages. Same with childcare, to find providers. And that's a business that, the business model is really broken, particularly with the wage increases that are occurring and what people can charge for childcare. And at the end of the day, what people can pay for childcare, they don't match up. Somebody who's trying to operate a daycare center, if they've had to take their employees from whatever it is, $10, $11 an hour to $14, $15, $16 an hour, it was barely working before, and it doesn't work at that. So that's a challenge. So lots of challenges, all of them taking a fair amount of time to resolve. You know, we'd love to get more students on campus, but that isn't quickly resolved either. So it's just going to take some time to work through some of this.
You know, I wonder if you want to speak to, not so much maybe in Hayes, but in kind of the greater Northwest Kansas region, the average age seems to be going up as well. And I think that's, you mentioned, you know, pandemic, a lot of folks that took that opportunity to go ahead and move out of the workforce, retire, and they're not going to come back. But I wonder how much that plays into it and what we can do to help bring in that younger workforce that can, you know, contribute 20, 30, 40 years still into the economic pool.
Well, we certainly have an aging population in Northwest Kansas, not quite as much in Ellis County, but in Northwest Kansas, we absolutely do. And yes, those people are leaving the workforce. They're in some cases leaving the area. And so we have to address that. Part of how we hope to address that is provide some retiree-friendly type housing that would cause them to move here. And have Hayes as a potential destination, but that doesn't help the rural areas out in Northwest Kansas. And, you know, one other thing I was going to mention on the unemployment rates, I've had people tell me, well, we just need people to drive into Hayes to work. Lots of people do, but the unemployment rates in other areas in Northwest Kansas are just as low as they are here. And so it's not like there's a workforce out there someplace close that's just waiting to go to work and wants to drive in. And then if you look at the cost of transportation today, you're not going to drive from 60 miles away to take a $9 or $10 an hour job. That doesn't make any sense economically. And that's the same situation with childcare. You can't go to work for $10 an hour and pay $210 a week or $200 a week or whatever it is to have your child looked after. It just makes more sense to stay home. So more and more families, I think, have made that choice that one of us will stay home and we'll just have to sacrifice some things, but we can't afford any other way. So it's not an easy situation.
You know, one of the other things that you've talked about with us here on the show is the the opportunity, I guess I should say, that we have here in Hayes and Ellis County with remote work. People can now choose, in a lot of ways, wherever they want to live and still do their job. How much do you think impact is that having on the local economy? People that have found, you know, I don't want to say better, but maybe higher paying jobs or something that works better with their schedule online and are just not in the local workforce because of that?
Absolutely has made a difference. And we benefit from that some too, from a standpoint that some people are relocating here that work remotely, but it doesn't really help our job force. You know, our workforce, they're here, they're spending money, they're buying houses, they're buying cars, groceries, but they're not a part of our actual workforce locally. So yes, there are people who have, in addition to who have left the workforce because of retirement, they have left the workforce because of opportunities that exist to work remotely for companies that they don't have to go into the office every day. So again, another contributing factor to this hugely complex problem.
You know, and the other thing that I wonder about this is there a way that we can spend our way out of this? You know, I've spoken to a number of, especially restaurant owners and managers in the area that have had to, by default, had to raise those rates to even get staff in there. Can we continue to raise that and work out of this problem? Or is that just going to, in the long run, make it worse?
Well, I think the power, if you will, that has always been in the hands of the employer has shifted a great deal to the employee. And I don't know that that's going to change anytime soon. If somebody says they can't find a job right now, they're not trying very hard. There's plenty of jobs available and good jobs. You know, yes, some of them take some skills. If you're going to be a nurse, you don't just walk in and you're not a nurse or a healthcare provider day one, but there's good jobs available. And it is going to be an ongoing challenge, particularly at the entry level. They're just going to have to pay more. And, you know, when somebody can, I've seen all kinds of signs around, you know, like Walmart, somebody who wants to stock shelves and that kind of thing, is $16 an hour. That makes it difficult for that restaurant owner or somebody who's traditionally hired people at, if not minimum wage, someplace close to it. That's just, that opportunity doesn't exist anymore. So their business model does change quite a bit.
You know, and I think about those folks too that are, you know, maybe not in a highly lucrative career. You know, I can think of several examples where money isn't the factor that people would go into the job for other reasons. But when you see numbers like that, I wonder if people are actively disengaging and they're saying, well, I don't want to do my job because I could go flip burgers for the same pay rate. Do you see any of that going on?
I think there's some of that going on. Sure. I think today more than ever, you know, and money, as you say, money isn't always the only factor. It's never the only factor in a job, but it's a big factor. But employers are going to have a workplace where people enjoy being and treat them well. And you know, as I say, the power of the whole situation has shifted to the worker. And so they're going to have to be treated better. And I think people who treat their employees well and give them a good work environment and a situation where people enjoy going to work are going to have a whole lot easier time attracting personnel than people who don't. And so that has to be part of any business's strategy, is that we've got to figure out how we make this a good work environment and take care of these people, because they really are the greatest asset these businesses have.
Absolutely. You know, and I wonder too, do you see that it's the same kind of impact or the same thinking from the hometown, the local owned businesses and the big box retailers and restaurant chains, or are they attacking the problem separately or differently?
I think it's the same problem. I just think the larger organizations may have some advantages because they have more resources and can make these changes and not have the impact, the dramatic impact that it has on a small business person. By the same token, I think most people would prefer to work for a local organization and have a little bit more flexibility, maybe a little bit better workforce, not all the rules and those, the type of things that maybe sometimes come with a large organization.
You know, in my experience, it's been about half and half.
Has it?
Yeah, some people really enjoy the structure of like a large chain. And that comes from my background. Everybody knows, I think I spent a good chunk of my adult years in restaurant management. It was interesting to me because that's how I always felt. You know, like I'd much rather work for, you know, a guy than some major Fortune 500 company. And I've done both.
Right. Just kind of depends on the individual, but certainly large organizations have more resources and can, in many cases, offer better benefits and more money in some cases, at least if they need to. Whereas the small business owner, many times, every 2 weeks when they make payroll, they're sweating whether they've got the cash flow this month to make payroll. And that's, so if you increase your largest expense, which is always your people cost, when you increase that 10, 15, 20, 30%, it creates some strain on a small business person.
For sure. You know, we've got just about a minute or so, Doug, left. I wonder if you want to talk about, before we go, are we getting close to a breaking point where things are going to get worse? Or does it look like, you know, in the next, and again, I know and recognize it's not a quick solution, but that things are going to get better over the next year or two?
You know, that's a hard question to answer. They say the first step to solving a problem is admitting that there is a problem, and we definitely have done that. We definitely have a lot of good people that are working on solutions. So I'm going to say it's going to get better. I'm an optimist by nature, so I believe we are going to see an easing of some of this. I think we do have a new normal. You know, the new normal is going to be that business owners have to treat employees much differently, or in some cases, if they expect to keep them. I think at the end of the day, some of this is going to ease a little bit. We're going to find new ways to do things, innovate, and overcome.